I'll be looking at a subject that I think all of us are interested in, a subject that I think we all desire, and I'll read a verse of Scripture, and I think maybe you can get what I'm talking about. I'll read another Scripture over in the New Testament, and we'll get the understanding of our subject tonight. In Psalms 126, verse number 3, Psalm 126, verse number 3. I like to hear those leaves of the Bible flutter. That sounds good, turning to the Scripture. Psalm 126, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." I want to use the last word of that verse, the word glad. Glad represents to us a state of peace and contentment. It's not necessarily fun and games, but glad is a heartfelt condition that we have because of what has been accomplished in our life. Now, we can be glad and still have struggles. We can be glad and still have sorrows. We can have gladness in our soul and still understand that the problems of life come and they are prevalent with everyone. The Scripture says in Psalm 122, verse 1, just right there back a few chapters, it says, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And so going to God's house, David said he was glad when he could do that, when he could hear that the call was to come to God's house and to rejoice and to have the worship of God. He said, "I was glad when they said that." Over in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 12, the Bible... The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happeneth unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So tonight I want you to just think upon that little word, glad or gladness. He tells us here that we should not think it strange that we have suffering, because that's a part of life. That's a part of growing up. That's a part of growing old. That's just a part of life. There are sufferings. There are trials. There are tears. There are difficulties that come our way, but we can still have the gladness in our heart because, as David said, He's done great things among us. There's good things that God has presented to us. And so the Scripture says, "Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, and then when His glory shall be revealed, we shall be glad also with exceeding joy." So tonight, how to build a glad heart, or how to have gladness in our soul, even when struggles come, even when problems arise. There's not a man that's born, not a person that's born of in life that doesn't have struggles, doesn't have problems. I think it was Job that said, "Man's days are short, but they're full of trouble." They have a lot of difficulty within it. But thank God we have been classified as overcomers. And we are overcomers because we have the Lord Jesus Christ living in our soul, living in our life. One day Jesus came to my life. He came to your life. And now we have that joy and that understanding of salvation. And so I want us to look at some things tonight about this thing of gladness. The verse that we read first in Psalm 126, verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." That means right now, present tense, we are glad. We have joy in our soul, and we are grateful for what the Lord has performed in our life. I dare say that if we would take time to really consider what God has done for us, I'm sure that there'd be joy bells ringing in our life, and there would be things that would happen to us that would be rejoicing in our soul. And there's gladness because of the great things He has done. We have a song that we sing about the greatness of our God, great things He hath done for us. And tonight we could go around the building, go around the auditorium, talk to each one of you, and we could all give testimony of the great things the Lord has provided for us, the good things that God has done for us, and those things will bring gladness to our heart. And sometimes people fail to have that. Sometimes folks have a problem with having the joy that the Lord has for them because they fail to look at the works and the ways of the Holy Spirit. They fail to realize that the Spirit of God has come within their life. The Scripture says we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, and the Holy Spirit has moved in. And many times we forget that we have a partner in life. We have someone that goes everywhere we go. We have someone that helps us with everything we do. We have someone that directs our pathway. We have someone that will guide us into the paths of righteousness for the namesake of the Lord. And so we have an indwelling partner called the Holy Spirit. And we should rejoice of the great things that He has done for us. But sometimes we fail to review that. Sometimes we fail to recount the goodness of God. Sometimes we forget that we have a guardian over us. We have one that protects us. We have one that gives us. We have the guiding hand of the Lord to show us which way to go and gives us peace and just gives us understanding. Somebody says, how do you know the will of God? How do you know for sure that you're doing what God wants you to do? I have no way of explaining that other than a peace that comes in our heart because of the Holy Spirit that lives there, and He just makes us understand that all things are well. He just makes us know that things are right, and we have that guiding hand of God, and therefore we should have gladness in our soul and to have the reconciliation with the Lord and have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and reconciled to God and what He has done for us and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the conversion of the Holy Spirit and the communion that we have with Him. What a great asset that we have through the Lord, and what a great blessing. And so therefore the psalmist could surely say great things He hath done for us. He's done great, wonderful, marvelous, magnificent works for us. And then he says, that whereof we are glad. Right now, present tense. It's not that we're going to be glad. It's not that we have been glad. But we're glad right now. We have the sustaining peace of the Lord upon us at this very moment. And so therefore, we are glad. Well, if I are glad now, I was glad yesterday. And if I'm glad now, then thank God I can be glad tomorrow and can have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this reconciliation that we have that comes by the working and the wooing of the Holy Spirit brings a joy in our soul that nobody can understand unless they have experienced it also. You can talk to people all the day long. If they have not experienced salvation as you have, they'll not understand what you're talking about. They'll not understand the peace. They'll not understand the security. They'll not understand the joy. They'll not understand the love that God has put within us, because they have never had that, and they cannot experience it until they come to know Christ. And so David says, we are glad. We have that wonderful peace that comes from the Lord. Now in Psalm number 100 and verse number 2, we'll just turn back a few pages there. Go back to Psalms 100. And in verse number 2, it says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now we've had salvation that has brought gladness in our heart. Now we're to serve Him. A lot of folks have a difficult time with this thought of serving the Lord. There are some people that say they can serve the Lord at their own discretion. They say they can serve the Lord any way they desire to. They come across and say, well, I can worship God anywhere the way I desire to, and that'll be all right. Well, if it's not in conjunction and according to God's Word, then it's not going to be all right. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about service. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord, and He saves us, and we are stamped as redeemed. But now comes our serving Him. And the Scripture says to serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Service to the Lord Jesus Christ is, number one, our duty. It is something that we are to do because of what He has done for us. He has done so much and has given us His life and given us everything. And so therefore, what is a small thing that we could serve Him? Salvation brings life in the Lord. Salvation brings joy in our heart. But there's another step to this. It's not just that we're saved. Thank God for salvation. But there's more to life than just having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's this thing of living and serving and having the wonderful blessings of the Lord, and it is our duty to serve Him because of what He has done for us. Somebody says, well, serving the Lord can be dull. Well, it's only if our heart is dull. Serving the Lord is sort of a drudgery. Well, there's something wrong, because serving the Lord ought to be glad. It ought to be joyous. It ought to be happy. It ought to be a time of refreshing as we serve the Lord. And service to the Lord should not be dull. It should be wonderful and helpful, and it's our duty. And it should be a delight that we can come before Him with thanksgiving and with singing and with praising. And the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so therefore, serving Him ought to be a glad time. It ought to be a time of just enjoying the Lord. I have a hard time wondering why people that are saved don't like to go to church. Because God saved us and put within us the desire that we follow Him. And I know the church is under attack, and I know there's a lot of detrimental things, and I know there's been a lot of problems within churches, and I realize that, but that does not change the fact that the Lord told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It doesn't change the fact of what God tells us about our service to the Lord is in connection with His church that He established when He is here upon this earth. And it ought to be a delight to serve Him and to honor Him. And it is our duty to come before Him and serve the Lord with gladness. So rejoice in the Lord and serve Him and have gladness of heart and gladness of thought, gladness of mind. And just to rejoice, even when the tears are flowing, we can have a good time with the Lord. Psalm 122. We'll real quickly go through some of these verses. Psalm 122. I mentioned this a moment ago and read it. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is a place that makes our heart glad. Now, I can enjoy doing a lot of things. I enjoy going to a basketball game, especially if we win. I enjoy going to different activities. I enjoy that. But that's a passing thing. Now, there's been some, over here in this gym and down through the years, other places, there's been some hard-fought ball games. But you know, I can't remember too much about them. I don't remember a whole lot about the situation. I knew what was going on then, and buddy, I was into it. But it sort of passes off because that's a passing thing. But we find here that the Scripture says, David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There is an importance of God's house. There is an important place that God has given to us. I told someone the other day, if the church of the Lord was important enough, that he says in the book of Acts chapter 20 that he died for the church, then certainly it's important enough that we ought to live for him. And it ought to be important for us to go to church and to have that fellowship with believers. Now, I know, as I said a while ago, there's been a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems in churches, but I'll tell you, in the right place, in the right time, you'll not have better fellowship anywhere than with God's people in God's house. I mean, that's just God's plan. And so David said, I was glad. He says, I had a joy in my soul when they said it's time to go. When they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, David wasn't talking about church like we have. David wasn't talking about New Testament church. He was talking about the house of the Lord. He was talking about the Old Testament time that they came together in the temple and the tabernacles and all the places that they had. David said, it rejoiced my soul when they said, let's go down to the house of God. For there they had their teaching, their trainings, and their rabbis would give them instruction out of the Old Testament, and there they learned, and they had all the ideas and the thoughts of what God had for them. And David said, it made me glad because it's important. It ought to make us glad because it's important. The invitation stirred his heart that we were to come, and the invitation was to come. And Jesus gives us invitation, first of all, to come unto him, all that labor heavy laden. Then he says, come to the house of God, and to serve him and to worship him and to honor him. And so these things bring gladness to the child of God, to the person that's saved, to the individual that is a believer. It's a joy to go to church. It's a joy to go hear somebody preach, maybe that you've heard some other time and you enjoyed his ministry or his sermons. It's a joy to be able to go across country and find somebody that you're interested in hearing from them. It's a glad thing in our heart because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and therefore we have our teaching and our training that helps us to grow in the grace of God. Now don't get me wrong, a person can go to heaven and never go to church. It's sort of an oddity, but it can happen. A person can go to heaven and not be in church. I think there's a lot of folks on their way to heaven that's not in church on a regular basis because they've trusted the Lord. You see, salvation is based on what we do with the Lord. Gladness and happiness is what we do with His church and with His people. And so we can go to heaven without going to church, but I'll tell you what, I think you ought to go first rate. Just go in the house of the Lord and have that fellowship with God's people and God's understanding and giving us teaching out of His Word. And the Bible says that the Lord has given to the church apostles and pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the people of God. The Lord puts preachers in our path to help us. I love when preachers come by and they give me some help. I was at Brother Ricky's last Thursday, and Brother Jimmy Moyes preached, but he helped me. Jimmy's a young man, but he's certainly a good preacher. And he loves the Lord, and you can tell he studies. And we were sitting on the pew together, and he said, "You ready to preach if they call on you?" I said, "No, but you better be." I said, "He's not going to call on me." He said, "How you know?" I said, "You just wait and see." Next one preached, Brother Jimmy. He said, "Well, I guess you knew." Now, Jimmy preached a good message, and it was a message that was for my heart and my soul. If it didn't help anybody else, it helped me. And it's good to drive 40 or 50 miles to have the Lord do something for you. Now, I've driven, some of you all have driven much farther than that just to hear the Word of God. Why do we do that? Because it makes us glad. It instills in us and encourages us and makes us realize there are other people out there that love the Lord and do the same thing and believe the same thing we believe, and they're serving God. That's why it's good when we have our camp meetings and go to camp meetings, because those are times that we see the encouragement from God's people and we realize that we're not the only one. Sometimes we get like Elijah and say, "I'm the only one serving God." The Lord told Elijah, said, "Elijah, there's 7,000 that's never bowed their knee to Baal. You're not the only one, but it's sure good to find them sometimes. It's good to be acquainted with them. It's good to have fellowship with them." And so the place that gladdens in the New Testament is the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an important place. It's a place that we have invitation to come and to have our hearts stirred with the joy that comes only from the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1 in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1 verse 4, John says, remember now, this is the Apostle John, and he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now I understand, I know John was talking about right then those things that he was writing. But by the way, they are recorded in our Bible. We have them preserved unto us. And so, just as John was writing and he said, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full," John was writing that to you and I because the Holy Spirit has preserved that and it's in our canon of the Scripture. And so, therefore, John was saying that to me just like he was saying it to those he was writing to. And so I can understand that the things that he has written are given that I might have gladness and that my joy may be full. And John wrote the the book of the Gospel and the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then the book of the Revelation, and John's writings are writings that have much foundational truths that we know that we have adequacy for the faith that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and faith that is given to the child of God, that we have a ground for truth and we have understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the availability to have victory. I love to read John's writings. They have so much about victory and so much of the assurance of salvation and the abounding joy. John writes and says that your joy may be full. He says rejoice. He goes on and over he gives us some things about the joy. And so there's a book that brings gladness. Guess what it is? It's not just 1 John, but it's all of them. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's all that's in between. God has given us a book that we can have gladness and joy in our soul. And by the way, it is this book that leads us to glory. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And so this book, the Word of God, should bring gladness and joy. He says, I'm writing these things that your joy may be full, that your gladness may have substantial amount, and you have the joy of the Lord. And so this book is given to us that we can have peace and can have joy and be glad. You go out those doors tonight, you turn on whatever news you listen to, you'll find out there's a lot of things that don't bring gladness. You open the paper the next time it's put out, you'll find out that not a whole lot of good news. But I find out the gospel is good news. I find out the book has good things. We study the Revelation in our Sunday school time. And well, this morning the Lord just moved in on my heart. Thank God for what He does for us and how that we can have the understanding of God's Word. It brings joy. Brings peace and satisfaction. So there's a house that brings gladness. Yes, the house of God. But the house of God is nothing if it does not have the book of God. And there's a lot of churches, and I use that term very loosely. There's a lot of places of worship. And again, that's not a good term either, because if they're not worshiping the Lord, they're not worshiping. But there's a lot of buildings that's got the name church on the front of it. And they don't have any book. And they don't teach the Word of God. And their understanding of things is far darkened and this far away from what we believe the Scripture gives us. And find out there's not a whole lot of joy. I got an email this afternoon, or maybe this morning. I haven't had time to really look at it, but it gives the top 10 things of everything around the world. I looked through it just real quick. The top country that has suicide, I don't remember where it is, but I looked for America, and it's not even in the top 10 list. I thought we'd have been there somewhere as much as we hear about it. But there's places far worse than our country in that. Then I find out, I looked and said, the top 10 countries that have millionaires. Guess who's number one there? Good old USA. We're in such a bad shape. I mean, we've done such a bad job, and the liberals tell us things ought to be changed, but America's got the richest people in the world. Well, definitely we've got the happiest people in the world. We may have religion. We may have a lot of service that rendered unto what supposedly the Lord, but not a lot of happiness. And so the book brings gladness, the house of God brings gladness, our service brings gladness, and certainly our salvation does. And there's a wonderful understanding in God's book that we are to be happy people. But Steve Allen, I've told you this before, he preached a message here once, and he preached it again. I went to hear him somewhere else. He preached the same message, and it's on God's happy people. I said, Steve, I'm sure glad you're happy, but I would love to hear some of the message. I haven't let him live that down. And so God does have happy people, and we are to be happy, and we should have the joy bells ringing in our soul and should have the joy of the Lord in our life. The Bible tells us that if we will go to the house of God, we have the Word of God, we have the service of God, we have the salvation of God. And then lastly, John chapter 20 and verse 20. There was a look one day that brought gladness to His disciples. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 20, and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad. He showed them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Here the disciples have gone through this terrible ordeal that their master, their leader, has gone to Calvary. He has suffered and died. He's been buried. And Some of them were fearful that he was just dead. Thomas even doubted that Jesus had arisen from the dead. And so they've gone through a terrible 3 or 4 days. But now when Jesus comes and they're gathered together, the Scripture says he shows them his hands and his side. What it is, he shows them the piercings of the nails and where the sword went in and tore the flesh from his side, and water and blood came out. When Jesus showed them that, the Bible says they were glad. They wasn't sad now. They were glad because there is their Lord, and he has died, and he has suffered, and he has bled his blood, and now he's alive, and they were glad. Thank God for the resurrection tonight. That ought to make us glad. That ought to give us rejoicing because of what he has done. And he has shown us that also. We see it every time we read the Gospels. We see it all the way through the Scriptures that the Messiah was going to die. He was going to suffer. Isaiah tells us that he was a man that was so marred because of the beatings and the whippings that he didn't even look like a normal man. And the Bible depicts a terrible beating and whipping and scourging of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the flesh torn from his back and from his body, and the cruel beatings and the crucifixion and the agony that he went through. But when they saw him, they were glad. When I see him in the Bible, I'm glad. And I'm glad, thank God, one day when I see him in person, I'm going to be glad. Because I believe those nail prints are still there. And it's not just the scars and the nails in his hands and his feet, but think about the crown of thorns. How that they thrust it down on his head. How about the sword that went through his side? And all the scars that are in his body. And Jesus carried those to heaven to be a memorial and to be a monument to what he went through, that one day I can cast what little I have before him, and I can say as they do in the Revelation, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I can be in that crowd that we mentioned this morning in Revelation chapter 7, as they are there because of the beatings and the whippings and the martyrdom of all those that have died and gone to heaven during that period of time, and they're standing around the 24 elders that represent you and I, and we can rejoice because we see him as the slain lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. So there's a book that brings gladness, yes, but there's a look that brings gladness also. And that look will be one day, our songbook says, "Face to face, I shall behold him." Realize one day we're going to look at him right in the eye. We'll look at that Jewish man that went to Calvary for us. And if he's like all other Jews, we'll look in his dark eyes. And we'll see him. We'll stand before him face to face. But you know what? Tonight, as a believer, we shall be glad. When I shall behold his face, when I look upon him face to face, I shall behold him. When we look upon that Savior, the Son of God, that died for us, there'll be gladness, knowing that all those marks are there because of my sin. Knowing that those scars that are in his forehead, and on his arms and his back, can you imagine the scarring of his back? Beat with a cat of nine tails, and that would literally rip the flesh from the back. Those scars are there, and they're there because of our sin. And when I look upon him, I will be glad. Just as those disciples were so distraught, and they were confused, and they didn't know which way to turn, and they were in that upper room, and there stood Jesus. He shows them his hands and his side. And the Bible says, John says, they were glad. Why were they glad? Their Lord was alive. Their Lord was well, and he was there. And so when we see him, we'll be glad. You see, those disciples were disappointed. They were discouraged. They were defeated. But now, they see him. And the joy comes in their soul, and they rejoice. Old Thomas, the first time the Lord appears, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I can see it for myself. And the Lord comes up, comes back a week later, and Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Not only were those 10 disciples glad, but Jesus made a special trip for a man that needed to see him. And the Bible says, Thomas rejoiced, my Lord and my God. Why? It's because he saw the Lord. When we see the Lord, I don't know what we'll do. I think we'll just sort of fall at his feet, prostrate. We'll be there ever thanking him and glad that we saw him in faith so that one day we could see him by sight. When he showed to them his hands and his feet and his side, they were glad. There's a look, there's a book, there's a place, there's a service. There's a salvation that brings gladness to every one of us that are His. May God help us to go from here and this place and tomorrow when it just don't work right. The car don't start. The dishwasher don't wash. Your husband goes on strike or something. When the dishes are not done and all the problems come, we can still be thankful we've seen the Lord. When things don't go right and sadness comes and difficulties arise, thank God I can see Him. And I have the promise one day that I will see Him. And when I see Him, I think I'll be just as glad as those disciples were when they saw Him. Be the same look and be the same Lord. And thank God for the wonderful love that He shows to us. Let's stand together tonight.